Section 3. More integrated listening and writing. Listen to the lecture and answer the questions.
Safir and Whorf's idea that language determines thought is also known as linguistic relativism. The strong version of the Safir-Whorf hypothesis could be stated as follows. We can only think and perceive what our language allows us to say. To find support for their view, Safir and Whorf examined differences among several languages and English. Some of their most important evidence came from the Hopi language. Whorf believed that Hopi showed no evidence of an idea of time as a separate dimension. Citing how important the concept of time is in modern mainstream physics as we know it, he went on to describe an idea of what Hopi physics might be like. Whorf claimed Hopi physics would be completely different from ours, and that it would be virtually impossible for an English physicist and a Hopi physicist to communicate. Think about it. If Whorf can imagine Hopi physics, then why shouldn't the rest of us English speakers be able to do the same? Furthermore, why shouldn't a Hopi be able to form a concept of Albert Einstein's theories? The strong version of linguistic relativism doesn't seem to hold water. Language can't be as restrictive to thought as the strong version would imply. Not only can people learn to speak foreign languages fluently, they regularly have thoughts that they cannot adequately put into words. How did those inexpressible thoughts get into our heads in the first place if language determines thought? The linguist Steven Pinker has popularized the idea of mentales, a universal language of the mind, independent of any spoken language. According to Pinker, a theory of mentales can explain inexpressible thoughts and other phenomena that Safir and Whorf cannot. So much for the strong version. Yet many linguists and other social scientists accept a rather watered-down version of the hypothesis. This weak version says that language doesn't limit the thoughts we're capable of having, but rather that it only gives us tendencies to think and perceive in certain ways. Proponents of this idea have concentrated on the study of color vocabulary, which varies widely between languages. To illustrate what I mean, Russian has no one word which corresponds to the English word blue. Instead, it has one word that translates as light blue and one that means dark blue. Several studies have suggested that if a language distinguishes between two colors, then the speaker's perception of those colors are affected. Even these claims, however, are not very strongly supported. More of the empirical research supports a universal theory of perception rather than a relativistic one. One study, for example, found 11 focus colors that people of all cultures seem to recognize. The researchers found that no matter what their native language, people were able to sort colored objects according to these universal focus colors.
Number 1. What is linguistic relativism? Number 2. According to the lecture, why did Whorf think that Hopi physics would be different from modern mainstream physics? Number 3. Listen again to part of the lecture, then answer the question.
Whorf claimed Hopi physics would be completely different from ours, and that it would be virtually impossible for an English physicist and a Hopi physicist to communicate. Think about it. If Whorf can imagine Hopi physics, then why shouldn't the rest of us English speakers be able to do the same?
What does the professor mean when he says this?
If Whorf can imagine Hopi physics, then why shouldn't the rest of us English speakers be able to do the same?
Number 4. According to the professor, the fact that people can learn foreign languages fluently suggests that... Number 5. Listen again to part of the lecture, then answer the question.
According to Pinker, A theory of mentales can explain inexpressible thoughts and other phenomena that Saphir and Whorf cannot. So much for the strong version. Yet many linguists and other social scientists accept a rather watered-down version of the hypothesis.
What does the professor mean when he says this?
So much for the strong version.
Number 6. According to the lecture, which of the following is true? Number 7. What can be concluded from the lecture?